Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with three lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
And I need all of you to stop what you're doing and listen.
So the Houston Texans are 1-0, and they did that without Deshaun Watson. You can thank the f***ing Jacksonville Jaguars.
I'm not as excited about the Texans as some people because they beat up on the Jags.
The Houston Texans are 1-0, and the Cleveland Browns are 0-1. These guys are Super Bowl contenders, and the Houston Texans are JV summer camp champions.
Teams are going to have to come out and play us, and they're going to have to see us and see what we got.
Holy cow.
It's a Football Friday on Sports Radio 610. Here's Clint Sterner and the show.
Ah, yes, it is a Football Friday as the Texans take on the Browns on Sunday. We got you rocking and rolling and ready for this one. It should be an interesting watch, at least. Clint's in the building, Tyler's in here, and I think one of the big things that Lovie Smith, at least the defensive coordinator, talked about yesterday was improvements. Improvements for week one and week two and how big they are. This was Lovie Smith yesterday speaking about week one to week two and facing the Browns.
We did some good things last week. Of course, with a first game, you don't really know where you are until you play that first game. And history has kind of told me that big improvements happen from week one to two. We'll need to do that. Playing a good Cleveland Brown team. Just talking about them offensively, stars at every position seem like. It'd be a big challenge for us. When you're building a program like we're doing right now and coming back up, it's good to see how you match up against one of the best teams in our conference as much as anything.
All right, that's him saying history has told him from week one to week two, Clint, generally that's where you see the biggest amount of improvement in football teams. And that would be great for the Texans because week one you would at least have to say was successful. And if there's big improvements to week two, they're definitely going to need it with the opponent they're playing against.
Yeah, there's no doubt about it. I think there are a few things that need to improve in a big way between week one and week two. Obviously, the opponent's going to get significantly better. But if we just take a look at what the Texans did last week, I think the Jacksonville Jaguars and their poor game plan, their inability to adjust, I think probably sugarcoated some things that the Texans did, particularly in the first half, that I think should concern us this week. It doesn't start, it's no bigger area to start with than the run defense. I think when you talk about run defense, it's obviously going to be major this week when you play Nick Chubb and Kareem Hunt and an offense that is hands down committed to establishing the run, to beating you down, wearing you down, and then running the football aggressively in the fourth quarter. There's nobody that does that more, believes in that more wholeheartedly than the Cleveland Browns. And if you look at the Texans defense last week, in the first half, I said this many a time, I don't know why, but the Jacksonville Jaguars, they chose to throw the ball, I believe, 22 times to rushing the ball 8 times in the first half last week. And if you look at the carries, it's a 6-plus yard per carry by the Jacksonville Jaguars last week in the first half. The second half, the game was out of control, and so you can't blame them for going out there and trying to throw the football more and trying to get a couple of quick scores and get back in the game. But when it was still manageable in the first half of that football game, the Jacksonville Jaguars ran the football effectively. They ran it really well. I don't know why they got away from it. And I know this. I know the Cleveland Browns, they're not going to go away from it. They're going to run it. They're going to run it well, and they're not going to go away from it. And so I think the biggest thing that has improved from week one to week two is the run defense of the Houston Texans. And that's the – I don't care if it takes adding a safety to the box to do that. I hope it doesn't. I hope it's just a front conversation. But it has to get better. They've got to get better at the defensive line and the linebacker position at stopping the run. And if they don't, it's going to be a long week for them. So show – you talk about week one to week two improvements. I think it starts with the front and stopping the run.
I don't know if you feel this way. For me, I would, if the Browns average 6+ yards a carry,
it's over.
This thing's going to get away from them.
They're going to rush for 300+.
Yeah, they're going to, because it'll be a different finish in terms of yardage than it was against Jacksonville. Because as you said, they're not going to stop. Like this is they're like Tennessee. If you need a point of reference. Tennessee generally is just not going to stop rushing Derrick Henry. That's the same way the Browns are. They're going to keep – hell, they could go down by 7-10. They'll still keep giving the ball because that's where their offense is buttered. So if they give up six yards a carry, it won't be 37-21.
That's right.
In terms – at least from the Texans winning. It won't be that outcome. If they got a chance to win, what do you think? They got to be around at least the 4 yards, a carry range, something.
I don't know what that number is, but I know if they're rattling off in the first half to rushes to the tune of 6+ yards per, it's going to be a long night for the Texans. I mean, obviously a lot goes into that. I mean, if they break one long run and it blows up the per carry average, then that's different than if they're just dominating the play clock. I'm sorry, the game clock and just chipping away, 4, 5, 6, 8, 9, 10 yards per carry. That's where the Cleveland Browns dominate the game. Hell, anybody can break a long run, but where you start talking about offenses like the Tennessee Titans and the Cleveland Browns, it's not about the big home run, right? It's about the doubles they hit in the run game. It's just the constant, just chewing up 6, 7 yards a pop. That's when they are really humming, boy, and they can really dominate the game. They can suffocate you. They got the ability to then throw a Kareem Hunt in there, their number two back, if you will, or their counterpunch, if you will. He can do the same damn thing. It's their mentality. It's what they do up front. And Houston's defense has to first and foremost counter that strength, right? You have to make them win left-handed. You cannot let them for 4 quarters be comfortable by running the football between the tackles. You can't let that. Now, if you overload and, hey, they hit a couple of shots in the pass game, then you got to tip your cap and, hey, good job, well done. If you overload and they throw a screen or they slip a running back out in the flats and Chubb or Kareem Hunt have a nice run in the pass game, hey, that's so be it. If Njoku has a tight end and Hooper have a big game, so be it. Obviously, it's you don't accept it. But at least you made them get out of their comfort zone, take a little bit more risk in the pass game than they really wanted to if you can stop the run. And look, stop the run is aggressive. It's contain the run, right? They're going to get theirs.
Just not be dominant.
That's it. Don't let them go up there and know they're going to get 5+ yards per carry on first down. Like that is – it's impossible to beat teams. I'm glad you brought Tennessee up. It's impossible to beat these teams – like Tennessee, like Baltimore, like Cleveland, that really, I mean, really anybody, if you allow them to do that, the thing is there's only a handful of teams that'll commit to it, right? I mean, a lot of these teams, like last week, you're giving up 6.5 yards carry to their leading rusher last year, and he touches the ball, I think he touched it 4 or 5 times in the first half last week. It's one of those, like, that's stuff Jacksonville does, right? That's stuff pass-happy offenses do. You ain't going to get that out of these boys like Cleveland and Tennessee and Baltimore. If they see a weakness, yeah, they're going to taste the blood in the water, and they're going to go for it.
As we're talking here, as this is a point of reference to the defensive coordinator, Lovie Smith. Generally, we see the biggest improvements from week one to week two. The run defense needs to improve. That's a sneaky thing that hadn't really been talked about because of the score of the game and how many attempts did Jacksonville rush the ball. But that has to improve. Also, they only had one sack last week to a team in Jacksonville that dropped back a ton. You would think in this game that has to improve too.
You nail on the head, brother. Like last week, and look, not just last week, but there's a lot of rookie quarterbacks. There's a lot of young, inexperienced quarterbacks on this schedule. And what you saw last week from this defense in front, from a pass rush standpoint, it's going to get the job done for a handful of games this year because the quarterback's inexperienced and the quarterback doesn't know how to get the ball out on time, so he's not consistently being pushed in the pocket, or he's not comfortable, you know, reading zones and not taking that kind of risk, you know, with the football. And when you push him out of the pocket, he panics and makes bad throws and errant throws and inaccurate throws. That's going to work against some guys. That ain't going to work against Baker, right? If you do slow the run down and you do get them in third and longs, like if you let him sit back there and pat the football, move him a little bit right, reset his feet and sit tall and deliver the football, Baker Mayfield's going to torch you. And not so much because Baker's a beast, but more so because they got flat-ass dudes running around in that secondary. They got receivers that can absolutely go. The one that I tried to turn into a congressman last week, Swartz, I mean, he was the 4-2 guy I was looking for. 4-2-5. And I watched the highlights from Cleveland's game last week. He got a couple catches. They're going to attempt to get him over the top. And then you got Landry to deal with, Njoku to deal with, Hooper to deal with. These backs, they ain't no one-trick ponies now. They catch a rock out of the backfield and can run it as well. And so moving Baker off his spot is not going to be effective. Like, you got to get to him.
You got
to
hit him.
Yeah, and so it's not just – like, the run defense is based on 7 or 8 defensive linemen getting it done. The pass rush aspect we're talking about, show, is based on Whitney Merciless, Jacob Martin, Charles Omenihu. Those dudes – you know, getting after the quarterback. If Ross Blacklock can get skinny and penetrate from the interior, even better. Malik Collins, if he can get skinny and penetrate from the interior, even better.
But when they hit late.
And keep your hands off the quarterback's face. But when those moments present themselves, right, Baker can't – now, he's going to get his again, but he can't sit back there for 4 quarters and not have a grass-stained one on his uni. You got to get back there and do more than just move him the way you did Trevor Lawrence. You got to get back there and hit him. You got to get back there and flush him. You got to get back there and sack him in those moments, or they're going to get in 3rd and 1. They're going to get in 4th and 1, and guess what they're going to do? Feed that power run game again.
That's the big thing is, as you said, listen, you're not going to stop their run game, but damn, you can't let Baker also kill you.
Yeah.
Because they're going to throw the football, but you can't. You can't let both of them just have their way. Like, somewhere you gotta slow something down.
Well, it's football. It's football 101, right? I mean, it really is with this game. Like, if you allow them to run the foot, whatever the stats say, hell with the stats. If you allow the Cleveland Browns to run the football, where they can predict when you're gonna bring a safety into the box, which when you bring a safety into the box to stop the run, you're putting your corners and your cover defenders on an island. And you're putting them on islands with Landry, Njoku, Hooper, 4-2-5 congressmen. I mean, you can't win. But you can't win if you had your starters, your Bradley Roby. You can't win if you had those guys. You damn sure can't win with the secondary that you have now. So it really boils down to football 101 stuff this week.
Do we just call him a 4-2 congressman, even though we've established that he is not
the congressman? Yeah, I mean, I think if we were
because that's what you just call, you're just calling him 4-2 congressman, even though we've established. Yeah.
If I were in Cleveland, he would be the congressman.
So
if I were covering the Cleveland Browns, Schwartz would no longer be Schwartz. He would be the congressman.
You're saying it with such like not you're joking or anything. No, like that's him, 4-2 congressman.
That's how you know when
he's just gonna let him go, 4-2 congressman. Like. We've established that cat's not the congressman.
Congressman 4-2-5.
The congressman we found out is dropping out, actually. Hey,
not only is he not running a 4-2-5, his ass is dipping out of politics.
Is that on us? I was going to say, is that on us? We spoke up. What's his name? Anthony Gonzalez. Spoke him up. I literally got up this morning and I saw he's dropping out.
He's withdrawing. He's withdrawing his nomination.
That can't be on me. He brought him up.
I think it is on you.
I guess, man. Okay. All right, Tyler. Tyler is in it is on me mode. God, goodness alive. All right, there is some – I think if you are a Texans fan who hopes this team has a chance on Sunday, there is some great news that you have received. We'll tell you exactly what that news is and what it means. That's
call from mom. Answer it.
Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify has got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odyssey podcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odyssey podcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/odyssey podcast.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
It's a football Friday on Sports Radio 610. Here's Clint Sterner and the show.
That's right, a football Friday here in Houston as the Texans take on the Browns. And fellas, really, really good news. This from Brandon Scott. He was on the ground out there at practice today. Tight end who was on this show the other day, and he brought it now. Pharaoh Brown is back at practice after missing 2 days with ankle and shoulder injuries. So Pharaoh Brown is back. We were concerned there because he missed the two heavy days of the week of practice. The last 2 days, which is a sign somewhat of, all right, is he going to be able to go? Generally, some coaches look at Friday before the game, man, you got to be out there to be able to get on the field. Well, Pharaoh Brown back at practice, that is big for the Texans moving forward. And I know I don't know who you have a bigger crush on, him or Jake Myers. But Pharaoh Brown,
great point.
Two fellas, yeah. There, I know that makes you happy.
I think that's fair. Yeah, no, look, I just think Pharaoh Brown is a guy that this team needs in order to do what it is they want to do. I think he's just an integral part of that approach. And if you don't have Pharaoh Brown in any game, you know, you got Anthony Auclair who becomes your hand in the dirt, aggressive run blocking. Run heavy formation tight end. I mean, no offense to him. I mean, hell, he's getting a deal done, and he's a big part of it. But he's not Pharaoh Brown, and so good to have him back at practice. There's no doubt about it that he's a guy that allows this team, that really gives this team a chance to accomplish what they want to accomplish. They want to establish a run. It's Pharaoh Brown. You get inside if you can establish that run. You get inside the red zone or on critical third downs. If you have established a run, there's a lot of tight end involvement in the pass game at that point in time. Sneaking behind the linebacker, sneak him out in the flats, get him open on the bootleg. That big body on the bootleg, backside of the bootleg on the crosser. That's a big target, and he's proven to have really, really good hands and be really athletic in the pass game. So this guy is a real advantage. And look, be honest with you, hell. If Pharaoh Brown's on the field offensively, I mean, you got two or three guys offensively that are better than the defense. He's one of them.
That's what I was going to say. I was gonna ask you too if this is me reaching. You know, I've reached a few times. It feels like to me, and I know he is an undrafted tight end, but it feels like to me that the Texans don't have a chance if he doesn't play. Like, and that's weird to say. You generally don't say that about tight ends on teams. But to me, it feels like he's that important. After everything you just said about how he affects the run game for them and how he all the things they want to do and in the passing game, he might be their biggest advantage. A one-on-one or whatever matchups they're running in. We'll see who Cooks is being covered by. Got a feeling that there's always going to be additional help with Brandon Cooks, which will hurt him some, which I think you may look at for Tyrod Taylor, especially where he likes to throw the ball. He may be the biggest mismatch. And I can't believe it's weird to say a guy who is not even drafted, a guy who Bill O'Brien kind of just brought on this team last year, that he affects that much that I look at him and I don't think they have a chance to win if he's not playing.
I don't know if I'd say they don't have a chance, but I do. I can feel your X factor aspect of Pharaoh Brown, because when he's in the game, you don't know what they're going to do. You know, I got to believe when Jordan Akins is in the game, it's, hey, look out for the bootlegs. Hey, look out for him in a two-point stance. Hey, look out for him in some kind of movement at an H-back position and doing something creative. It's not a, hey, they're fixing to punch us in the mouth. Right, I mean that's just now they may try to with Jordan Akins, but to me that's just not the case. When Pharaoh Brown is in there, it's hey, y'all better buckle up because they can run this rock downhill wherever he's at, left or right. The ball's probably going to come behind him. Right, he spends a lot of time. I would imagine he's going to spend a lot of time on that left side with Laremy Tunsil and Titus Howard. Usually the ball's going to go that direction. So I just think I could see him definitely being an X factor in this game, whether it's early on keeping them in the game or it's late in the game in the fourth quarter, giving them a chance to put the team in position to have a chance to win it or close the gap on Cleveland. Yeah, I could see Pharaoh Brown being that, having that type of impact on this game and hell, quite frankly, on a lot of games moving forward. Now the key is, you know, we saw one game's worth last week, obviously. Of the same stuff that we saw in the preseason. If this dude can put a season together doing similar things to what we've seen throughout training camp in the first week of the season, he's going to be one of the better all around tight ends in the game if he can do that for 16 or 17 weeks.
Yeah, that because just listening to you talk, there is a you talked about it earlier. There's a drop off from him to the next, and Jordan Akins, who we'd like to, you know, maybe see him involved, see him doing something. You can't ask him to do the same things you're asking him to do, and you didn't even call his name. You went right to
I'm not. You know, I think when you look at this football team, I'm not down on Jordan Akins. I just think he's down the pecking order of guys that you want to get touches. Right? There was a time when he was a guy like, hey man, you had to get him touches. And it was a good idea to get him touches. And he was the guy that he was the tight end you wanted to get touches in the screen game and in the boot game and all that kind of stuff.
But what they want to do now.
Yeah. It just, I mean, like the way they're used to running backs last week of getting really creative with the running backs. Do you really want to take those opportunities and go, well, let's get real creative with Jordan Akins or Brevin Jordan? I like both of those guys. I think they bring a lot to the table. But if you're going to get that creative from a formation and a motion, a pre-snap, let's put it that way. If you're going to get that creative with the running backs in before the ball's ever snapped in terms of your motions and your formations, you don't want to screw that momentum you have up by trying to get Jordan Akins involved in some way, shape, or form. When you look at what this team has, I think Brandon Cooks is a guy that you've got to move around in formations and you got to move him in shifts and motions to get him touches. I think you got to get him touches down the field. You got to get him touches underneath. I think the way they use the running backs, obviously those guys in third down, fourth down, and in red zone situations, they're going to be a creative little package. And according to everything that we've seen so far, that was an advantage Texans. And then I think you have Pharaoh Brown, who is a guy that, you know, you can use in the pass game and use in all the different misdirection games. I mean, you got a lot of guys there that you're now trying to get creative informations and movements. And it's like, I don't know that you need to plug in Jordan Akins and Brevin Jordan and these other players at this point in time. You got a solid crew that, hell, again, I think it's week one at least. It was a win for the Texans doing those things. So I wouldn't, it ain't broke, don't fix it, man. Now, if the Cleveland Browns get you in a situation, it's like, holy hell, we got to get two tight ends in here because we got a chip on these two defensive ends.
Which Cleveland could happen.
Well, now you got it. Now it's a different game. Now you're adjusting. You're not game planning. If the adjustments take you in a direction to change, okay, cool. But the game plan, nah, man, I really like what not only what they did week one, but I like the potential of what Tim Kelly can do year with that kind of approach, you know, the length of the whole season.
Clint Sterner, show here. Tyler producing this on Houston Sports Leader Sports Radio 610. For all of those who believe that the Astros now are right in prime position to self-destruct and they're going to blow this lead like Tyler does in the AL West, they just keep winning. they just keep kicking ass. And they took three or four from the Rangers. And last night, my man, Los, got it started.
Correa drives one deep center field all the way back to Tavares. Forget about it. Three-run jack. Woo! Carlos Correa. The Astros out in front 3-0 on Correa's 23rd home run of the year.
Did y'all hear it?
Yeah, I heard the.
Did y'all hear it?
I heard. There it is. And it does it right in.
It turns,
my man.
Yay. That turns
man
me
Los,
on right
man.
There, boy.
My man Los right there, man. Let it. And he stood there and looked at
That's
it for just
sexy.
A little bit. I know you do. Mm. I know you do. And I'm right there with you. I felt the same way.
Opened the floodgates, didn't he?
It really did. Yeah, they in every one of these wins, they just beat the, who almost said dog S.
Yeah,
they
do
beat
that.
The hell. They beat the hell out of the Rangers in every one of 15-1, 7-2. They blew them out again last night. They got a 7-game lead.
That's a lot of hits.
Yeah, over the A's and an 8-game lead over the Mariners. And this, I mean, obviously, Tyler sweating bullets every day after each game with 16 to play. But see, you obviously are thinking with a sane mind. You're not thinking about, you know, what's behind you. You think they got a chance to get this number one seed, huh?
Mm-hmm.
You think they got a chance to go catch the Tampa Bay Rays?
Yeah, look, I think when you look at their schedule and you look at Tampa Bay's schedule, I think the Astros got a. I mean, I think they should, right? I mean, I think you could look up at the Tampa Bay Rays and when that series comes around on the schedule. Because they got a 3-game series with the Rays down the stretch here, it could mean a lot more than just hey let's get through this series and get to the playoffs. I mean it would take a hell of a run here by the Astros, but when you got Luis Garcia going out there and dealing, making a strong case for Rookie of the Year, by the way, and this lineup is catching heat. I mean hell it's. I don't think it's a stretch. I think it's something for Astros fans. I think it's fun. I know for me, it's going to make this last run of baseball games a lot more entertaining than just hey, you got a seven and a half game lead in the division. Let's keep on keeping on. No, let's hunt the Rays.
I wonder how many Astros fans care about the number one seed.
If you don't, I mean, what kind of fan are you if you don't care about being number one?
I mean, the number one seed, like in terms of like, man, go get it, like go after it. I mean. I don't know. I wonder how – in baseball, just it's not the same way like
Oh,
in football,
I agree, but
you know
damn,
what I mean?
I see number – I want to be number one. Let's go get it.
I know what I think Dusty's thinking.
Dusty's just going to be lucky to get there.
These guys healthy.
Yeah.
Let's rest them up. All right, what things can translate? Tyrod Taylor had himself a hell of a game. The offense had a hell of a game against Jacksonville, but many people fairly say it's the Jags. What things can translate from Sunday's game to the Browns? We'll discuss that next.
After the end of a good fight, you deserve an ice-cold reward. Medella, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, the bigger the fight, the better the reward. You put in the hours, the energy, the tough labor. You are a fighter, and Medella is your reward. Medella, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
Listen to every MLB game live.
In the deep left center field, it is high, it is far, it is gone.
Stream minor league affiliates.
The Midwest League home run leader.
And Watch the best baseball highlights and look-ins on MLB Big Inning. MLB At Bat is your all-in-one live baseball subscription for only $3.99 per month.
Deep left field. It's going to go. Alvarez ties the game.
Subscribe to At Bat within the MLB app today. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
It's a Football Friday on Sports Radio 610. Here's Clint Sterner and the show.
All right, as the Texans get set to take on the Browns Sunday, Clint, one of the big things that we've heard was the Jags. They just beat the Jags, and I think that's fair. I think that's fair. We watch Jacksonville. They certainly aren't at the level of the Cleveland Browns. If you watch Jacksonville Sunday and then you watch the Browns against what many people think is the best team in the league, I would still give it to the champs, the Bucks. But many people think the Chiefs are the best team in the league. Those are obviously were two different style of teams. And offensively especially, where the Texans scored 37 points against the Jags, many people have said it was the Jags. It was the Jags. And especially with Tyrod Taylor and his performance. So I guess my thought would be, after watching that game, what do you, in terms of improvements, what do you think he can improve upon, and what do you think he did in the game Sunday that can translate, that he can still move and do on Sunday against the Browns?
Well, I think we heard David Culley, the head coach, be very critical of the way Tyrod Taylor started the game in terms of, you know, risking an interception, damn near throwing an interception, being late on a quick out, and then missing a third down throw right, you know, immediately following that, and then, you know, being late or missing some reads throughout the game from in the pocket. And ultimately, you know, those are things that Tyrod Taylor got away with, right? He ended up flushing the pocket and throwing two deep balls to Brandon Cooks. You know, and got away with it. He rushed for a good gain one time and got away with it. He slid out of the pocket one time and found Farrell Brown late and got away with it. And so, you know, against Jacksonville, you get away with a lot of those things. The better the opponent is and the better the defensive front is, the less likely you are to get away with those kind of mistakes or those kind of shortcomings, right, or those kind of misses and late throws. Or, you know, you're more than likely Brandon Cooks is not going to win a jump ball into two DBs against the Cleveland Browns secondary.
Or, hell, you're not even going to get a chance to get it off.
Right.
As you talk, we watched Deshaun Watson look like he had a clear side of the sideline last year, and Myles Garrett just ran him down and damn near prevented him from getting a yard to get the first down. So, yes, Tyrod Taylor had – Myles Garrett running him down last week, he probably is not able to make some of those throws to go what you're talking about, better defensive line.
Well, you know, the thing is not that they can't necessarily make those plays or make those throws. They're less likely to happen against Cleveland, but the deal is you can't rely on them. Like, a big part of last week versus the Jacksonville Jaguars were you were able to do some of those things that were either huge swings in field position or they were key critical third down conversions. There are things that the coach can't dial up, right? I mean, there are things that you just athletically made the play because you were better than the opponent. That's not going to be the case this week. So I think number one, and to just put it very simple, is like this offense is not going to be able to rely on shots to Brandon Cooks.
That's not going to translate.
So Tyrod Taylor has to be better from the pocket, just like David Culley said when he was being critical of the quarterback after the game, or I guess it was Monday in his time with the press after he watched the film and everything. Tyrod Taylor has to be better on time and in rhythm from within the pocket. You and I highlighted a throw he made to Brandon Cooks on a speed cut, which, by the way, on the film was even better than it was on game day. On time, catch the snap, you know, in the gun, three-step drop, one big hitch, lay that sucker on the sideline. They were on the same page because Brandon Cooks comes out of the cut over the top of the defensive back and gets back to the sideline, back to the ball. It was absolutely beautiful, right? That kind of on-time, in-rhythm throw is exactly what I'm talking about. Tyrod has to be better on those throws and has to win in that fashion more times this week than he did last week. He has to be better from the pocket. Like I said, the Farrell Brown, not the one-handed catch, but the one before that where he broke a tackle and you know, made a couple of an eye-opening run after catch. That ball, he should have caught that ball over the middle of the field. Instead, he caught it, I mean, damn near, you know, outside the hash and almost to the numbers, right? That ball should have come out earlier. Terai got away with it. He ain't going to get away with it with them boys you was talking about, them Cleveland Browns defensive linemen chasing him. So he's just – the one thing he's got to do better is from the pocket, on time, in rhythm, get the football out. Find quick throws, right? Get the football out, and he's gonna have to do that consistently. And so I think offensively, that's the one big.
Did you see that though? Did you like? I know the big plays to Cooks jump out those,
yeah.
But outside of those, what was it about the maybe the throw to Farrell Brown? These were just just him improvising plays, getting out of the pocket,
mm-hmm.
right? But did you see enough throughout the game of just on-time stuff, rhythm stuff, where they were was good enough?
You know, I saw enough in week one.
I mean, he threw for 291, but a lot of it was on those big
– Yeah, I mean, 90 of it was those big throws, and you know, a couple of them were like the Farrell Brown one-handed catch over the top. That's not the types of plays I'm talking about. Those are great, but that's not the types of plays I'm talking about. I'm more or less talking about, hey, you, like he's got to commit to – catch it. Like, don't wait for a receiver to come open downfield. Like, right now, he's got to commit to catch the snap, put your foot in the ground, and if that corner's soft, throw the quick out on time. If that corner's soft or if he's in man and belling, you've got to hit that back shoulder stick route when it's there to a big-bodied receiver, Chris Conley or Nico Collins.
I was going to say, more some of the stuff we saw with Amendola and Conley.
Yeah,
those routes.
Yeah, absolutely, absolutely. Like, those are the ones – that have to be, like, you got to have more of them, which that may be the play calling as much as it is Terod Taylor actually executing it. But they've got to do that. He's got to get the football out of his hand. There's outside of running the football, right, which I think they're going to attempt to do is run the football inside with Mark Ingram, not because he did it well last week, but because you said it earlier, the sideline to sideline speed with this football team is impressive, especially with Myles Garrett. And Jadeveon Clowney can roll too when it comes to tracking down the ball carrier. So you got to do some things interior-wise to slow him down. But I think you also have to frustrate them with when you do throw the ball, get it out so quick that they're non-factors, right? I mean, it just get it out so quick that they're non-factors. And that can't always rely on a misdirection or a zone fake or, you know, some kind of bootleg. A lot of times it's creativity within the formation and the routes with the wide receivers to get somebody open right now. Some kind of rub route if they're bowing their neck, taking risk and playing man. Don't throw a low percentage go route all the time. Hey, get you a good rub route underneath and stick it in his chest and see if he can't break a tackle. Right? Those are the kind of things that I think are absolutely huge this week. I saw some last week, and for the first game of the season, I was pleased with it. I think for an undersized quarterback who, big picture, I think does have some problems, you know, always seeing over the rush and seeing over the offensive line, and he's going to be late to some of those things over the middle of the field. That's going to happen. So, you know, I think I saw what I needed to see in week one from to believe that it's possible. Now it's just a matter of them going out there and executing it and seeing if Tim Kelly's seeing the game the same way that I see the game from an opponent standpoint.
As we're sitting here talking about Terod Taylor and the offense, what things they can do, what things can translate, I'll throw this to you. One of the things that I thought at least helps him. See, coming into it, and the person I've compared Terod Taylor to a lot, he has an Alex Smith feel to me, right? Like, not going to beat
Fair.
You, but not going to take big chances. Does this at least make Cleveland have to think twice or think differently about how they may approach Terod Taylor in this offense, because Terod Taylor was not afraid to throw the ball over the top and make big plays and attempt big plays. He threw the ball down because the first drive, Griffin almost picked that thing off because there was no fear in him that they were going to go over the top. He did not move.
He was sitting
there's no, yeah, he's sitting and he's coming up. But then in the game, as the game went on, Tyrod Taylor was throwing the ball down the field, and they weren't afraid to throw it up. So I'm wondering if the Browns look at that and don't just come in and just sit on routes, and if that at least helps Tyrod Taylor in the receiver.
No, I think they sit on routes.
Still sit on
routes. Oh, no question. Look, the truth of the matter is it's still Tyrod Taylor. The arm strength just isn't there to threaten the field from the line of scrimmage to the goal line, wherever that may be, down the field. He just doesn't have that arm strength that strikes fear in opponents. I don't think that's going to be the case all year long. The other reason, Show, is because this is a perfect setup. If you're a corner and you're trying to get paid in this league, this is a perfect setup, right? Is you've got a nasty pass rusher, and when Clowney's on time, he's disruptive as anybody in the game as well. And you, as a DB, you naturally expect Myles Garrett to get home. You naturally expect the opponent to plan to get the ball out quick, like I just said the Texans should, in my opinion. And so you start sitting on routes and you're getting your eyes in the backfield. And so maybe there's an opportunity for the Texans to take a shot double, you know, double move early in the ball game and get one down a sideline. But I expect Cleveland. There's nothing I saw last week from Tyrod Taylor or the Houston Texans
that would
change the defensive game plan for the Cleveland Browns. For the Houston Texans, it's come in, get after the quarterback, sit on routes, smother the receivers until they prove that they can get by. Because what we saw last week from the Texans receiver was, you know, there were no deep shots by design. I mean, there were no, and I'm just saying, like, just straight go routes. Like, hey, you get man, you got a go route called, you get the ball up quickly over the outside shoulder and let him go get it. There was none of that. Like, it was all busted plays as far as the chunk plays go. And so, you know, for me, it's the same game plan. Teams are going to try to smother them. Teams are going to try to force low percentage throws over the top with a quarterback that's not as gifted as most quarterbacks in the NFL from an arm strength standpoint. And if you, as a quarterback, can hit them with a couple, there's going to be opportunities. If you can hit them with a couple, now they got to adjust. But I think the game plan coming in is going to be to smother them and force.
So even the big plays, just because they didn't come, it wasn't like on purpose. It didn't come in what they were scheming.
Right. Look at the touchdown from Trevor Lawrence up the left seam there. I mean, that's not the types of throws that Tyrod Taylor made. I mean, I think on the ball that Brandon Cooks ended up catching, the second chunk play where it threw it up and Brandon Cooks ran clear across the field and got it. I mean, Cooks actually was in man coverage and had man-to-man coverage and actually beat his defender pretty quickly. That ball could have come out on time to him. And then we can talk about, well, that was in rhythm, that was by design, that was scheme, that was chemistry, that was great. What we saw was a great backyard ball play.
Yeah,
I just don't think you can depend on it. And until they prove that within the scheme, they can stretch the field, I think defense is going to come in here with smother the Houston Texans approach.
Clint Sterner, Ron, the show in here with you on Houston Sports Leader Sports Radio 610. Boys, we got a big week of college football in the SEC coming up. The big one, Alabama at Florida. Also, Auburn travels up to Happy Valley to play Penn State. So those are two big games for the SEC. But does Florida have a shot? Does Florida have a chance at home at the Swamp? I mean, I know you've played at the Swamp before. Didn't fare too well. Didn't go great for you. I believe. How many times were you sacked?
10. Concussion.
That sounds unbelievable.
Every quarterback, every quarterback for Florida.
I didn't think Tyler knew that.
Every quarterback for Florida threw a touchdown before I did. Like, everyone in the uniform.
But you threw a touchdown in the game?
I threw one in the fourth quarter. Sure did.
10 sacks and a concussion.
Those 10 sacks were in one game?
All in one game.
I'm trying to think. Was this Javon Curse?
Yes.
Holy cow.
It was Javon Curse. He's the one that gave me the concussion.
I'm not laughing at you.
Holy cow.
Who else was on that defense?
Oh, there was a bunch of
them. Was Alex Brown on that defense?
Man, I don't remember.
I got concussed. I don't remember all the hell. That was 20 years ago. I don't remember all the guys. But I do know
Javon Curse. Yes, that one sticks out.
I do remember him,
yes. You remember him. But no, so it's a tough place to play. But Alabama, they have been dominant in their two games. And when they played Miami, it was not even close. I think Florida's better than Miami, but
Do you see them? Is this a game in the fourth quarter?
No, I don't think it's ever a game, but I do think that Florida scores a touchdown late to win the bet, to cover the spread. It's 14.5 last I saw. It'll probably grow by the time they kick. It'll probably increase. Look, here's the deal: is Florida's got a quarterback controversy. They've got a guy, Emory Jones, that Dan Mullen is somewhat being loyal to, I think. And they've got another guy named Anthony Richardson, who is a man-child. Show, he's got 11 rushes for 275 yards.
Yeah.
You know, he's throwing the football. He's sub 50% completion. But that's not because the guy's not naturally an elite spinner of the football.
He's not having a lot of rhythm in games either.
Yeah, this kid's going to be special. And I don't know what he tweaked his hamstring late in the game last week for Florida on a long run. He's got a touchdown run of 73 yards. He's got a touchdown run of 80 yards. I mean, this kid's got star written all over him. And with Dan Mullen, it's got a chance to be really beautiful. But for some reason, Dan Mullen is waffling back and forth between starting one. And the Emory Jones kid he's a good player. He's got some athletic ability. He's got a good arm. But it pales in comparison to the other kid. Like the other kid you watch and you go, I could see this guy leading his team at some point, maybe not this week, but at some point leading his team to victory versus Georgia and versus Alabama and versus the big boys. Like it's that kind of difference between the two quarterbacks. The other one looks good against FAMU, right? But when he goes up against, I think he's going to get swallowed by SEC opponents. So I don't know what Dan Mullen's up to.
You think that the best chance is the Richardson kid?
Yep. He's young. Live with the mistakes he's made. That the Emory Jones kid, he's turned it over, I think, four times. He's thrown two interceptions in each of the first two games. So it's I don't understand what the hell Dan Mullen's doing from making a quarterback decision. But the Anthony Richardson kid gives him a better chance to win if he plays and his hamstring's not a problem. I think they cover. I think they cover big time.
So at Florida, I'm trying to figure out where Alabama loses. Where they have a chance to lose. Is this their toughest game?
I hadn't looked at their schedule.
On the road, I mean, I know they play at A&M. I would have thought that coming in, but they don't have their quarterback in that game. A&M won't. Maybe he'll miraculously come back and heal.
I think the quarterback that A&M has right now, I've talked to a couple of people up there. I think I like their approach with him more than I do the athletic quarterback because he can bail the lack of offensive line experience out. Like, you know, like the athlete, it sounds good when you're replacing four offensive line. We'll play the more athletic kid. And that sounds great, but I don't know that was going to get it done in the SEC at any point in time this year. The kid that's a little bit more of a polished passer has the ability to stretch the field. And, hey, if you can't protect up front, you just live with a sack. But at least he gives you a chance to stretch the field. I hear this kid's pretty solid from the pocket. So I don't know that A&M's not a better place for this season. I don't know about long term, but for this year with the Zach Calzada kid.
Huge, 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 huge news, positive news for the Texans and their chances to win the game on Sunday. We'll tell you exactly what that is coming up next.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Baseball is back, and so is MLB.tv. Watch every out-of-market, regular-season game on your favorite streaming devices. Anywhere, anytime, all season long. Follow the action live or on demand. Track 4 games at once with multi-view mode. And catch up with in-game highlights. Plus, original programs, minor league broadcasts, and local pre- and post-game shows. Go to MLB.tv to start your free trial today.
Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.